Good morning. Wonderful to see everyone out gathered together for worship this morning. Always an exciting time, and coming off the heels of a wonderful vacation Bible school, it was exciting to see all the children come each and every day to learn more about how to serve God and how to serve others. And we had so many wonderful teachers and workers to make that all possible. So a big thank you to everyone that made the week possible. We actually had 107 enrolled last week with an average attendance of 98, averaging almost 60 children a day. So that was just great to see the children come out each and every day. First of all, if you are a guest with us this morning, welcome. We are excited that you are worshiping with us together with us this morning. We have guest cards that are located right in front of you. And if you would, we would love to have you fill one of those out and place it in the offering plate just so we can have a record of you being with us and are so glad that you are. A couple other announcements. One correction in the bulletin. The youth committee meeting that is today will be next week at 5 o'clock. Also, at a Stattmiller Bible study will be at Mandy's house Monday at 7 p.m. And last, make sure that if you have not turned in your nominating committee form, please do so as soon as possible. We have those located at various points in the church. Make sure you pick one of those up and be praying about how you can continue to serve the church and serve God in that capacity and fill that out and place that in the baskets that you see located in the atrium. Are there any other announcements we have this morning before we begin our worship service? Well, I'm blessed and excited to be able to hear our children sing here in just a few moments. So let's bow our heads and pray to begin our worship time together. God, thank you so much for being with us right here and right now. God, we know you have brought us together. And Lord, when you bring us together to worship you, your Spirit moves through us, in us, and transforms our way of understanding how to live. Because, God, we know we are called to live together as your church, to be a witness to the people we are in contact with throughout the week. Lord, instill in us through scripture and through song the way you want to show your love through us and all that we do. And it's in your Son's holy and precious name we pray. Amen. Let's spend a few moments preparing our hearts for worship this morning. To come forward, we'll have them line up here and give them time to do that. They're going to share one of their songs they learned this week, so I'm excited for them to do that. We'll make sure we give plenty of time for the oldest to be in the back here and the youngest to be up front. So as the teachers are guiding their children, we also have a special surprise this morning for how they're going to present their song to us. Let's make sure they have that with them as well. Everybody come this way. You're going to kind of line up this way, and you're going to face everybody else, all right? So come up this way. Walk this way. Come this way, and make sure you're looking out to the congregation, okay? Teachers, if you can, in the back there, get them to walk forward, that would be great. Come over here for me. Step this way. Step this way. In the back, if y'all could walk forward for me. There we go. We're getting everybody lined up. And then you're going to have to give me a moment to make sure I can get the song playing like we need it. It was wonderful to hear them sing each and every morning really loud and really clear all the great praises to God and what they were learning each day as well, because the song also taught them the day's lesson. And this song in particular has a little surprise with it. So I'm going to make sure they're all set up and have their surprise with them. And make sure you listen to and follow your teachers right here. Remember, they taught you all week, so focus on them, okay? Is everyone ready?
Okay. Bible school. They're kind of, it's kind of hard to move up there and there in front. Still want, if anybody's not with the Bible schoolers and would like to get in place for the children's sermon, you can still do that. And I'd like you to turn to page 176. Put your bulletin in at 176. We're going to sing two verses of 344. And two verses of 176. Let's all stand.
Thank you.
Give everyone time to come down for the children's sermon here. It's always great to see you all come down. I love seeing that. It is wonderful to see everyone down. Excited to hear what God's going to teach us this morning. Y'all did a wonderful job singing what we learned from VBS this morning. That was excellent to hear. Today I want us to think about something. You know, sometimes you might get a gift on your birthday or during Christmas, right? And let me ask you a question. What do you do when you receive a gift? You tell everybody. That's good. What might you do as soon as you receive the gift? You might open a gift, and what do you say? Thank you. You say thank you. I bet your parents are teaching you to say thank you, right? We always need to be thankful for everything. Look right here. Sometimes you might even send a thank you card. You see, this thank you card has little birds on it. It says thank you right there. Lauren and I keep a lot of thank you cards on hand. Recently, we wrote a lot of thank you cards for all the wonderful gifts that we received for Lauren's baby shower. So we wanted to make sure that we told everybody how thankful we were for those really nice gifts. So we wrote thank you cards. You know, like you said, when you have something nice done to you, you want to say thank you. Just like when you do something nice, it's nice to have others say thank you back. That's right. And they'll say you're welcome. That's right. Well, this week we learned about serving God and we learned about serving Jesus. And we read a lot of stories about how Jesus actually served us, because he tells us he didn't come to be served, but to serve other people. And he wanted to make sure we were understanding we needed to be thankful for that. We needed to be thankful for all that Jesus did. You remember all the stories we learned this past week where Jesus would heal people? You know, sometimes he would even make blind people see, or people who couldn't hear could all of a sudden hear. He even helped people walk that couldn't walk. You're right. He even raised people from the dead. And so we're going to read about how Jesus helped someone. And listen to what Jesus said after he helped someone in Luke chapter 8, verses 39. Listen to what Jesus said. He said, "Now return home and tell how much God has done for you." So the man went away and told all over town how much Jesus had done for him. Jesus told the man, "Go tell everybody what has happened. Be thankful for what has happened, and be thankful for what Jesus has done. The best thing Jesus has done for us was dying on the cross for our sins, so we can have eternal life with him." And when we accept that, we need to tell other people, because that's the most important thing we can be thankful for. And we need to make sure we tell other people the good news about Jesus and what he's done for us. So remember this morning that we always need to be thankful, and the way we show we're thankful is by telling other people about Jesus. Okay? Let's pray about that. God, thank you so much. Thank you so much for your Son and the gift that he gives us, the gift of life. God, show us how to be thankful and how to tell other people that we are thankful. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. I'll see y'all next week. Actually, I'll see you in a little bit.
As our children are returning to their spots, they're going to sing again in just a second as soon as we're through with this prayer. And let me add my thanks to everyone who helped with our Bible school. It was a wonderful, wonderful experience, and we always love having the kids come. I could tell by the way they were moving, they're a little tired too this week. I know the teachers are, but we had a wonderful, wonderful week. Let me invite you to open the bulletin, look at the prayer concerns that are before us. One, I'd ask you to remember Miss Nell Coble. Nell is currently at the Liberty Commons out off of Highway 87. We want to keep her and Bob in our prayers in a very special way. Ruth West had a stent placed in her heart this week. We want to keep her in our prayers also. And then I received word just as I was coming out that we want to remember Barry Lambus' grandmother, Esther. She is very critically ill. She suffered a stroke, and Although has rallied a little bit, we're grateful for that. We want to keep this family in our prayers. Miss Esther would turn 100 this August, so we want to keep this family in our prayers as they share this part of this journey with her in a very special way. Would you pray with me? God, indeed, thanksgiving comes from going and telling. And as we have been reminded, you do love us so much. And that love transforms our world. And Lord has the power to transform others. Help us to be busy about going and telling. Telling those who don't know you as Lord and Savior that you already died for their sin. They're already forgiven. If they simply would accept that, it could make an eternal difference. Going and telling those who are struggling with life that you love them and that we love them and that together we will face whatever life may bring our way. Going and telling those that are grieving that you are our source of comfort and our hope and our solid rock in times of trouble. Going and telling ourselves that you are greater in us than he that's in the world, and that we can make those changes in our life that would make us more like you if we are willing. Help us to indeed go and tell. Be with us now as we continue to worship you, because Lord, you are our audience today. We are now before you. We are speaking to you. We are singing to you. We are praying to you. We are worshiping you. Lord, you indeed are why we're here. And as we do that, Lord, may you receive our worship. May it be pleasing in your sight. In Jesus' name we pray.
Did such an excellent job the first time. I want you to come back and share our theme song, Go Serve Our World. It was always exciting to hear them sing that theme song as they walked in to the morning celebration each morning. Y'all can go ahead and come this way. Hearing them sing about going and serving Jesus was just a blessing. And I'd like to take this time as they're coming forward to thank our music teachers. We had Mallory and Sydney and Jill, and also Rachel, who couldn't be here, did an excellent job teaching all the motions and all the songs this past week, as well as all of our teachers spending all their time teaching and learning and helping the children. All right, since we're all lined up here, let me see if I can once again get our music going.
Thank you, children. Page 66 is a song written by Caroline Sandell Berg. She wrote a lot of songs, wrote a lot of literature. She's known as Lena Sandell. She married late in life. And she didn't particularly enjoy playing with friends. She stayed with her pastor father, stayed in his office a lot, and learned to read and learned to write and wrote quite a few important songs. And it seems her pastor father was going to have to go by steamer to another town, something to do with the churches in the area. And they were standing at the edge or by the rail, and the steamship lurched, and her daddy went overboard and was not able to be saved. And this inspired her to write more and more for the revivals that were occurring in the 1800s in Norway and Sweden. And she had a counterpart that wrote the music. She was the lyricist. A lot of times you have a lyricist-musician combination. Oscar Ahnfeld was the musician. He was a traveling troubadour. And in those days, you couldn't turn on the 5 o'clock news and find out what was going on. You didn't have a radio in your car, as you didn't have a car. And so the only way you had to learn about the news was maybe find something that was fairly regular newspaper or news sheet of news. But most of the time, you got it from traveling troubadours or minstrel singers that would find out something in one part of the country and would go around singing about that, and you'd listen and you'd find out what was going on. Oscar Ahnfeld was a spiritual troubadour. He believed in preaching and singing about the Lord Jesus Christ. The powers that be didn't like his doctrine, and so and in those days you had to only preach and sing about the doctrine that was approved by the monarch. And so King Carl the 15th sent word that he was to be come to see him. He had been petitioned to see the king about his singing and the subject matter, and so he was very worried about what the king would do. He could throw him in jail. He could kill him. He could make it difficult for him in many ways. And he called Lena Sandell, or she didn't call her. Had to write her, obviously. But he got word to her, I need a very special song. I'm not going to quit singing about the Lord. And I need a song to convince the king that I need to keep doing this. And so Lena wrote a song for him, and he went to the palace with his guitar under his arm and went up, was received, and was sent in to see King Carl. And very nervous, of course, he played the song that Lena had written for him. And afterwards, the king with moist eyes, it says, with moist eyes, he said, "You can sing anywhere in my kingdom you want to." And so they touched the king's heart at that time. How many chances do we get to do that? We might get only one in our whole life. But I imagine that if you gave your life to Christ to do that, there would be many opportunities. Page 66, let's all stand.
Thank you. us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day to come into your house and hear your word. Father, say a special thank you for the children who attended our Bible school last week and for the teachers who helped to spread your word. We ask that you bless them and help us to be the church that those children need. We also ask that you bless these tithes and offerings to further your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, choir. Isn't that marvelous that we serve a God that is a God of grace, a God of love, a God of mercy? I was handed a note as I was sitting here that Gene Smith's mother, Miss Betty Davis, will be having shoulder surgery, shoulder replacement this Tuesday at Moore County. She fell in her garage, I think, also has had hip replacement last Tuesday night. So we want to add Betty to our prayer list. Let me invite you to do that and keep her and that family in your prayers in a very special way. I hadn't heard. Wednesday, Bob Mitchell. Thank you. I knew that, as Bob said, he had a close encounter with some concrete, and that didn't go too well, but we want to keep him. Thank you. You would open your Bibles to 2 Chronicles, the 7th chapter. 2 Chronicles, chapter 7. While you're turning there, I want to read a very short passage from chapter 6 before we come to our text. It's Solomon has brought the people. They've laid this great offering out that will be consumed in the beginning of chapter 7. There's this great altar built, and Solomon, the king of Israel, it says, kneels down on his knees in the presence of the assembly of Israel. He spreads out his hands toward heaven and he says, O Lord, God of Israel, there is no God like you in heaven and on earth. And the rest of chapter 6 is a prayer that he offers. And then in chapter 7, verse 1, it says, And as soon as Solomon finished his prayer, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifice, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. One more preliminary. In that same chapter, 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 12, it says, Then the Lord appeared to Solomon in the night and said to him, where our text comes from. I want you to see the progression. Solomon has built the temple. He's had this awesome worship where God has come and in power, undeniable power. Don't we love God's undeniable power? He has consumed the offering. Solomon has continued, and it says now in the nighttime, after the prayers, and if you read chapter 6, you'll see the prayers that God answers in our text. What happens, God, when this happens? What happens when there's famine? What happens when we're in war? What happens when we have problems? And in the night, God gives Solomon the answer in our text, chapter 7, verse 14. If you're able, would you stand as a way of honoring the reading of God's word? God, speaking to Solomon in the night, says, And if my people, who are called by my name, humble themselves and pray and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. May God add his blessing to the reading, to the hearing, and help us with the application of his most holy word. Would you pray with me? Lord, would you speak to us as we speak to you? May you see us and hear us and know us, that we might leave in right relationship with you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Our invitation hymn is Only Trust Him, page 317. Only trust him. If you would mark that, that will be our closing hymn at the conclusion of our service. Verse 14 begins with if my people who are called by my name, if they humble themselves, if they pray. If they seek my face. If they turn from their wicked ways. If. You know, there's a comedian, you may know him, Jeff Foxworthy, who's kind of made a living off of that question, if, in his favorite, I guess, noted his signature of "You Might Be a Redneck," and he has a few of those. You might be a redneck if the directions to your house include, please turn off the paved road. Now, I can understand that. You might be a redneck if your front porch were to collapse and it would kill four dogs at one time. You might be a redneck. You might be a redneck if you have to go outside to get something out of the fridge. Well, I do have a freezer outside, but that's another story for another time. And you might be a redneck if you believe the last words of the Star Spangled Banner are, "Gentlemen, start your engines," if you really believe that. It could be. If, isn't that a big question? If I win the lottery. If I get my education. If I get that job. If she says yes. If he asks me. If. It just drives us. It's a big question. In prayer, we've had the ifs that God has given. If we recognize who we are and who we belong to, if we recognize our condition and humble ourselves before God and don't come to God thinking we're His equal, if we are willing to search for Him and not be angry at Him if He doesn't reveal Himself like we think He ought to, and if we're willing to deal with the sin issue of our life, there's a then. Then. If, then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. Prayer is talking with God. Isn't that an amazing claim? I've been talking to God today. Doesn't even sound right when it hits our ears. And yet, that's exactly what prayer is. It's not some ritual thing we do with closed eyes and particular words, but it is the communication between believers and the one in whom we believe. In 2 Chronicles, we discover that Solomon, after he'd offered that prayer, receives the fire. What a prayer! What a prayer! What a prayer to have God's fire fall down. I wonder today if God's fire could fall in this place. I believe it can. I believe God the same yesterday, today, and forever. I believe that in the altar of our hearts, there could be fire to come and consume an offering. Maybe it's an offering of some sin that we need to deal with and we're offering it to God. Maybe it's an area of our life where we have felt God's Spirit pull us, encourage us, and challenge us for many times. We've always just said no. Maybe. If we as people, if we are called by His name, if we humble ourselves, if we seek His face, if we're willing to deal with the sin that would separate us from Him, then the fire can fall. The fire will fall. God, He looks at our life. Let me remind you of our title, A Divine Audience. A divine audience. I remember a story told of a young preacher down in Georgia that was told the president was going to be in his audience. He's going to be in the congregation. Going to worship with him in a few weeks. My goodness. The president of the United States of America was going to be worshiping. They say he canceled everything. They said he just cleared his schedule. He had vacation planned. He canceled it. He worked on that sermon. 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 Do you understand what I'm saying? He worked on that sermon. The president of the United States was going to be worshiping with him. Sunday came. Secret Service gathered all around the sanctuary. They had already done a walk through the day before. They were there at daylight. And the president made his appearance right as worship began. He preached the sermon he had worked the hardest on in his whole life. He had worked so hard on it. He had given it everything he had. And I'm going to tell you what, it was a crackerjack sermon. It was fantastic. Then he made his way to the back. Secret Service already made it clear the president would be the first one to exit. And the president came by and shook the young preacher's hand. And he said, FDR, said, yeah, young man, that was a tremendous sermon. I plan to be spending the summer here in Warm Springs, Georgia. I plan to worship with you every Sunday. I'm excited to hear more sermons just like that one. I wonder if we're aware that greater than the president is here today, that God Almighty is here today, and we are worshiping Him. It's about Him. If my people, I've got the fire, I can consume, I can bring healing, I can bring forgiveness, I can bring hope, if my people. God looks at our life. He sees us for who we are, not who we pretend to be. Scriptures teach us, be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that will he also reap. Galatians 6:7. He sees us. He knows how we walked in today. He knows what we brought to the worship center. He knows the good, the bad, and the ugly. He knows the strength and He knows the weakness. He knows the right and He knows the wrong. He sees us. We're here before Him. We cannot hide. I remember they say my sister, when she was very young, would play hide and go seek, and she would hide behind a cane back chair because there was a little board. Now you could see all of her, but it would cover her eyes. And she would hide behind that chair. She wasn't too hard to find, but she thought she was hid. Because she couldn't see you. You may not be able to see God today, but listen, God can see us. He sees us. And we can't hide behind anything. We can't pretend to be anything we're not. We can't pretend that everything's okay when it's not okay. We can't say that we're right where we need to be when we're not where we need to be. Be not deceived. God, who we worship, our divine audience, He sees us. God's looking at our life. He looks directly at us, and He sees us intently. I'm amazed. I don't know why God's so interested in us. You heard we had a super moon yesterday? Did you hear about that? And I think some nights when you look up and you see all the stars, and He's created them all, and it's amazing. And yet I tell you on the authority of God's word that He's interested in you. He who created the moon and the earth and the stars and the planets. He's interested in your prayers. He's interested in your life. He's interested in our struggles. He wants to walk with us and talk with us. And He's told us that if we put ourselves in the right place, we can have that divine audience. If we realize who we are, if we seek His face, if we pray, if we humble ourselves, if we admit our sin, He wants to hear from us. He needs to hear from us. He sees us for what we are. Have you ever said to someone, I see where you're coming from? Well, that would indicate you're a visual learner, they tell me. But I want you to know that God sees where we're coming from. He knows our struggle. He knows what we're struggling with. Not only does he see us, but he's listening to our heart. They tell me that a newborn baby can tell his mom's heart from every other heart that beats. You see, the baby developed under that heart. The baby knows that heartbeat because it's had 9 months of intimacy with that heartbeat. That heartbeat is the source. God knows our heart. He developed us. We can develop our life under his beating heart, if you will. God desires an inward change. I think it's wonderful that we understand that God gave the powerful answer to the king, not in the midst of that powerful worship. Can you imagine? It says after the fire came down and consumed that offering, that the priest couldn't even enter the temple, that newly built temple, because the glory of the God was so strong in that place. And yet, in the night, maybe with a still small voice, God told the king, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I'll answer their prayers. God was setting up that I'll be your God, you'll be my people relationship. If you do this, I'll do this. Today, what do we need God to do in our heart and in our life? Worship with the right words and the right heart, and God will listen to your heart. And it may not be today, it may not be this very moment, but if we could begin to dwell, I love what C.S. Lewis says. When you struggle with loving God, he says, do what appears to be loving God. Just keep loving God anyway, and one day you'll love God. There's a story told of a pastor who had a lady came and said, I'm leaving my husband. I'm just sick to death of him. Now, I'm glad no one said amen right then. But anyway, just seeing if y'all were still with me. She said, I'm leaving him. I'm done. He said, what's wrong? She began, that was the wrong question to ask. What's wrong? She began to tell him what was wrong. And my goodness, it was a long list. And she said, I'm so angry at him, I could kill him. And he said, well, that's not a good plan. That's not a good plan. But let me tell you what I think would be a good plan. I'd like to teach him a lesson. I really would, she said. He said, well, why don't you try this? Why don't, for the next 3 months, and I know that's going to seem like a long time, but for the next 3 months, you do this. You get up every morning, you cook him the best breakfast you can cook him. I mean, a breakfast fit for a king. You tell him how nice he looks, how glad you are that he married you. You just do all the things you can to make it. Don't argue with him. I don't care how wrong he is. Don't argue with him. And then after 3 months, when you've given him that kind of royal treatment, I mean, you've just treated him like a king. Then when you walk in, and I'll tell you when, then you walk in, you say, by the way, today I'm leaving. It's over. And you'll break his heart. Right now he might be glad to see you go. But then, oh boy, it'll be bad. She thought about that and was just diabolical enough to think, you know, that'd probably work. And so she took the preacher's plan. She went home and she treated her husband like royalty. I mean, cooked for him every meal, packed his lunch, made sure everything he could possibly want, she provided for him. One Sunday at the end of the service, she walked by, had a big smile on her face. And the preacher said, day's the day. Day's the day. Day, go home right after church and just tell him you're packing up and leaving. She said, packing up and leaving? What are you talking about? That's the best man I've ever. You see what happened? She loved him. He loved her back. Love God. It'll change everything. It'll change everything. God's looking deeply into us. He's listening to our heart. And I can almost guarantee that everyone who has come to the energy to come to this worship center today, in our heart, want to be as close to God as humanly possible. Or we wouldn't be here today. But then life happens, doesn't it? We step out of the beautiful singing, the children blessing us, the music, the message, we're so committed. And then we walk right out the door, and before we get to the car, life starts to happen again. There's the schedule. There's that problem that we had. And we thought we'd put it on the altar. We thought we'd given it to God. We thought we'd humbled ourselves. But it makes a difference. It makes a difference when we really do it. When our worship is honest and sincere, it'll continue. Maybe in the night, maybe tonight, maybe tomorrow night, maybe in a couple of nights. But keep doing. Keep doing. And finally, God's love with us has life-changing power. God's love, our choir sang about God's love. When God hears our prayers, He wants to give us the best. He wants to do all He can for us. When our worship becomes a priority, and I'm not just talking about the corporate worship, although that's so important, but I'm talking about a life of worship. We see the world in a different light. There's a story told on another president, James A. Garfield. It was his first Sunday in Washington after his inauguration, and a member of his cabinet insisted that they have a cabinet meeting the next day at 10 a.m. That was a Sunday to handle a matter of grave national importance, but President Garfield said, "We'll have to change that time. I can't do it at that time." The cabinet member insisted that the president change any other engagement. It was of that importance. But Garfield refused. The cabinet member said, "Mr. President, I'd be interested to know with whom you have such an engagement that it cannot be broken for a matter of national importance." And Garfield replied, "I'll be frank with you. My engagement is with the Lord at His house and at His table at 10:30 this morning. I do it every Sunday. I'm not going to break that engagement. I'll be in His house at 10:30 this morning." Wow. Wow. The intent of worship is to offer our best to God. Our society says, give God what you can. I almost think that's worth repeating. The intent of worship is to give our best to God. Our best to God. Our first to God. First fruits. First time. First love. First energy. First. Best. Our society says, give God what you can. When it's convenient, give God some time. When it's convenient, give God some money. When it's convenient, give God. The two aren't the same. The two just aren't the same. We need to understand that. It's so easy to invest in the wrong place. Let me conclude this morning with couple of stories from my life. Back in 2006, after realizing that it was going to take a tremendous amount of money to fix the heater on my 1999 Ford Taurus, I bought a Toyota Camry. And it was used. It was 2002. I paid $12,900 for it. I've been going by some car dealerships lately just to see if they were giving away any free samples, and they've told me that that car that I paid $12,900 for, trade-in's worth about $2,000 to $2,500. Radio still works. Air conditioner still works. Everything on it works. Got a few more miles on it than it had when I bought it, but it works. But society has told me that its value is no longer what it was. me tell you another story. We were living in Winston-Salem. We were clearing out. We had an old chair up in our attic. It was a family chair from my family. And we decided we'd sell it. We didn't know what it was. It was a rocking chair, and we didn't need a rocking chair. Didn't have a place for it at that point. But I was enough attached to it that I made a firm decision that it would not go for less than $75 at the yard sale. Have you ever been in a yard sale? I mean, a quarter, 50 cents. I shouldn't have even gone to the trouble of pulling that chair out of the attic and carrying it out and putting it out. And I had folks come, I'll give you $10 for it. No, you can't have that chair for $10. No. One guy went up to 40, and I said, no, $75. He's going to go for $75. And you know what? The end of that yard sale, I put it back in my attic. Okay? I put it right back in my attic. About a year went by. We don't do yard sales very often. In fact, now we hardly do them. I don't know if we do them anymore. I think we've made a McCullough decision. We don't do them anymore. But anyway, we were watching TV. And all of a sudden, my wife said, look, that looks like our chair on that TV program right there. And they were talking about that chair. It was a Pioneer Mission-style rocker made by Gustav Stickley. You know, that fella should have offered me $75 for that chair if he'd have known what it was. You know what that chair's worth? Then, that was 10 years ago, it was worth $675. And I'd have helped him load it if he'd have given me $75. What's valuable? Cars? Boy, you go to the dealership and theirs are valuable. You put it out in your yard, not so much. But what does that rocker remind me of? That maybe there's something that's so valuable that we don't even know it. And maybe we're selling ourselves and our relationship with God way too cheaply. Maybe real happiness. Maybe real wholeness. Maybe real forgiveness. Maybe real healing. Let me say it another way. Let me quote someone. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, thank God for the then. Then will I hear their prayers. I will forgive their sin. And I will heal. I will heal. I will heal their land. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Would you pray with me? God, help us to realize that when we invest in you, we've invested in the most valuable. Remind us when we invest in the world, it depreciates so rapidly, we never find satisfaction. Today, we have worshiped you, our divine audience. We have shown you ourselves as we are. And now, O God, we ask that you take us as we are and do what only you can do in our heart and life. We need healing. We need hope. We need your presence and your power. We need your forgiveness and your favor. We need your love, your grace, your mercy. Oh God, you know every heart, you know every need. You know every relationship. You know every husband-wife relationship. You know every brother-sister relationship. Every son or daughter to mom and dad relationship. You know every work relationship, every school relationship. Lord, you know it all. And right now, oh God, in this moment, we your people, need your healing and your forgiveness and your hearing. Hear us as we pray. And help us to only trust you. In Jesus' name, amen. Our hymn is page 317. This morning, if God is speaking to you and you need to make some public decision for Him, we would invite and encourage you to do that. But may each of us, before we leave this building this day, say to the one we came to worship how much we love Him, how important He is to us, and make those commitments we need to make that we might leave this place in His power, in Christ's name. Would you stand and sing? Again, to all those who worked this past week in our Vacation Bible School, thank you so very much. You blessed us. You blessed the children in our community. And it was indeed a tremendous week. And now, as we leave this holy place, we go out into God's holy world. May we leave this place in His peace and in His power and in His abiding presence that we might be His people. In the midst of all His people. Would you pray with me? God, go with us from this place. We have worshiped You in spirit and truth. We have heard Your voice, but we continue to listen for more. In Christ's name, amen.